But we said this year is not just this year, this time. I'm trying to correct myself to not be saying this year, but to say this time. That it's to strengthen the local churches. And I mentioned yesterday at the Soul Winners Conference, which we basically I said that there is an attack on the identity of the church and on the identity of the local assembly. And we began a series in the first service there, Yaba, and started fulfilling your destiny in God. Okay, then, you know, of course, one of the things we highlighted today is the fact that, you know, we mustn't judge things outside the Word. In the sense of, you ask yourself whether it's the Word. And today we have so much liberalism, people having their own ideas. So if we're not careful, we'll believe that majority is correct. And that is not a good way to look at the validity of something. It has to be the Word. It has to be looking at the Word. Is that what the Word says? That should be our approach to things in general. So then I'm going to talk along those lines and basically around the local. What's the church, really? I highlighted a few things here. I'm going to mix it together with what I will share later. And I said the church is actually a platform for relationships where God expects the Jew and the Gentile to come together. And 1 Corinthians 12:13, Paul says you are baptized into one body, whether Jew or Gentile, bond or free. And, you know, that's, which means that the church is where we are. You know, baptized into one body there would mean that we are united. Of course, Gentile is a bigger word than that. It means other nations outside of Israel, which means that the church is where we have that relationship. We also have the bond and free. Now, those are terminologies that if you're not careful, you won't know the meaning. You won't find out the meaning. Bond and free are two things. Again, it has to do with social status. Bond is slaves, servants, call it employees, usually at the lower rung of society. But it now says born and free, those who are not like that. Of course, I would have to add great and small, rich and poor. So, we mustn't give a coloration to the church that tilts towards any. Tilts towards the Jews alone, tilts towards the Gentiles alone, or tilts towards the rich, or tilts towards the poor, or tilts towards the bond or free, or tilts towards male, not female, and, you know, that young and old. So therefore, the church is that supernatural relationship that brings people from different social status, which is not spiritual. When you are a Jew or Gentile, they are not spiritual relationships. Born and free are not spiritual relationships, you know, all that. But then we now have the spiritual relationship where we are now called brethren. We are brothers and sisters. Where you have the word philadelphos, which means that we are, brothers, that's adelphos, pardon me. Brotherly love is philadelphos. So you have, that's Hebrews 13:1. Brethren. Okay? So that's spiritual. So now, let me explain it very well so that you understand. We have come with from our natural relationships or natural status, so we unite, and in that order, we are one, right, in the body of Christ. So having entered that, we are now brethren, brothers and sisters. Allow me to use the word sisters, brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, because we are all in God's family, we are his sons, we are his children, Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16. So in that relationship, we now have distinction. Of course, distinction in spiritual growth, where we have those who are babes, who are just growing, new converts sometimes, or just who have refused to grow. We have 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. Then we have, you know, those who are meant to be mature, you know, those who are strong should bear the infirmities of the weak. Romans 15, verse 1. And we have those who, we now have maybe distinctions here and there. And I would just love to say this because I had to caution someone. This is, by the way, and I said, you know, the fellow was seeing me, you know, shared stuff from different ministers, and I said, you know, you have to be very smart. That discerning the Lord's body that has no discernment is foolish. You know, and you have to be, you know, be wise. We'll talk about that, maybe not today. So you have been able to, you have to say, okay, this is the strong, these are the weak, you know, basic elements like that. So, the body of Christ is a place of union. Are we here? We unite Jew and Gentile, we unite great and small, we unite poor and rich, we unite. And so our doctrine must always be strong on that. So the spiritual relationship, we are brethren, we are fellow saints with the saints, Ephesians 2. He says we are built upon, Ephesians 2:19, we are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow with the saints and of the household of God. Verse 20 says, and you are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So you see that union that we have, Ephesians 2:19-20. It says the whole body grows up unto him in a holy temple in the Lord, and we all together form a habitation for God through the Spirit. Ephesians 3:15, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So we are family, we are fellow citizens and that. So within that, we now have distinctions in responsibility. I'm going to work on that in the second session, which is where we now have elders and brethren. We now have bishops, leaders, and then those who rule, those who are ruled. Now that is distinct based on responsibility. It is not age. As much as experience counts, it is not just experience. It functions with the grace of God. It functions with responsibility. So, by and large, I mean, the local assembly that mirrors this should be seen in its light. A supernatural relationship. Now, when we say supernatural relationship, we simply mean Spirit-led. Now, how do we know it's Spirit-led? You just saw it now. The barriers of tribe is broken. The barriers of age is broken. The barriers of social status is broken. That on its own is the Spirit of God. Because oftentimes, we think it's the Spirit, it's only the Spirit of God when you hear a voice. No. The written word is the Spirit of God. The written word is the Spirit of God. So, based on that, we have that relationship that is by the Spirit, because we know it's the written word. So, we have that. So sometimes we, that's a local church where we find ourselves in, under a leadership, under just, you know, those relationships. And a believer who looks back, and like as you grow in the faith, things you thought just happened, you will now notice that this was an orchestration of God's Spirit. You think they just happened. You know, I was talking to someone, I said, how did you join that church? The person was telling me, you know, I had all the complaints. I said, do you realize that your joining that church was supernatural? Oh yes, yeah. I said, let me hear the story. Yes, you know, I met somebody and I met the person. Then I knew I was hungry for the Lord. I wanted to know him. And, you know, that brother brought in that teaching. Then I went for this and, you know, mentioned it. And I said, very well. So you found yourself there. And you see the hand of the Lord in it. So I said, oh, did you? He said, no, sir. So you think you need to be an angel before God orchestrated something. He said, no. Because the person went about now, you know, when you now start using logic, I said, you found yourself. You didn't orchestrate this, did you? He said, no. So you are now about to orchestrate something. I said, and you know. I didn't say, wait, someone else came to me, and the person was talking, and the person said, God said, thank God for some experience. You know, back then, when he started saying that, God said, I'll just shut you down. Where are you? How does he speak? And you're talking to your pastor. He says, go say. So I just listened. Go say. I'll ask again. What did you say? Go say again. When the person was done, I said, fine. Are you done? Now you'll be listening to me and not God. I said, let me show you how I know that it was your emotions. Because I listened very well. And one of the people that taught me how to listen was my father. You know, because one day, he saw someone came to me, and how I dismissed the person. So he now said, why did you do that? I said, he was saying nonsense. He said, no, you should have listened to him. Are you not a pastor? And so, he now told me a story about himself and one man, architect Lai Balogun, how he went to the man's place, and the man listened well. That he noticed that, you know, the man just listened. He said, you're a pastor, you need to listen. He said, you know how to give the proper response. Because I will just dismiss you that from the answer, this one is not intelligent. What are you saying? So I just listened. I said, look at what you said here. The person now looked. And the person started laughing. He said, with everything I said, sir. I said, yes, sir. Is it me? I said, God said. No God now told you to tell me that. And we both found out that the person was talking nonsense. He says, your emotions. You get it? Say yes. It's very good that I write things down. Church notes, you're not writing. The one person you can see, you're not writing. The one you cannot see, you're writing. The one you can see, you're not writing. The one you cannot see, you're writing down on the 14th day. And I know people these days, anyway, you should be smarter. They will now be using prophecies of World Changers Conference in Holy Ghost meetings. They'll be connecting it. Connect this one in the meeting. I was giving this prophecy. I was giving that prophecy. Hey, is it because we have now taught you how to give prophecy? There's a prophecy. You even said something that day. You said something. I said, what did I say? You said that we should do so. I said, hey. I said, I'm here. I, the person that spoke, I'm the one talking to you now. So I know, sir. So why would you tell me I said something when I'm here? Say, that's not what I meant. Because I was not in a trance when I was talking to you. You know? But the point I was saying that, look, did you not, can't you see the hand of the Lord in this? Yes, I can. So you are now about to orchestrate things in what you are doing. Don't do that. It is not smart. I've always said that wisdom is learning from your experience and others. You know? So, look at a relationship like Paul and Barnabas. You know, you know that until Acts 13 verse 2, when the Holy Ghost says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I have called them. You notice that the only story we know is how Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus, Acts 9, and how he told Ananias what he had called him to do. But you won't find the connection. And Luke was deliberate when he first spoke about Barnabas in Acts 4 and said how he sold his land and, you know, and brought the proceeds to the apostles' feet. The second time he's going to mention him, after Acts 4, you need to look at it, then in Acts 8, of course, the first time he mentions Paul, Acts 9, sorry, he mentions Paul as somebody who stood by when someone else was killed. So, all you find about Barnabas was that in Acts 4 and verse 6, 36, he sold his land and brought it to the field of the apostles, and that's all. Then you get to Acts 9, and the same Barnabas is found. He went to, in verse 27, he took Paul, Saul now, and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus, and he was with them going in and out of Jerusalem. So notice that there's, we didn't hear, and the Lord appeared to Barnabas. No. It was just the fact that something happened that connected them to what God had called Paul to do. And that was virtually also important to Barnabas. Again, the second time, Acts 11, of course they had to send Saul of Tarsus away. in verse 30 of Acts 9. So Acts 11, we see him again. And the act is repeated in 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul. Again he found him and brought him unto Antioch. You have seen a repeated action. Who do you think prompted those things? God has his man. Then he has someone just around him. And he is not Ananias who saw him. But Ananias was weary, but you are Saul of Tarsus. And he's reached out to by Barnabas. And Barnabas goes the second time. Look at the two critical things. Two critical moments. He's found there. And in Acts 13:2, it says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I have called them. Notice that it was Paul who had that revelation. But Barnabas, let's say, first of all, unconsciously, now he is made conscious, which means that there could be a supernatural also, and that confirms things you thought were just coincidental. Are you following what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Now, that has been affirmed. They didn't start with thus saith the Lord, even though the Lord was involved. But it was seen in the several occurrences. By Acts 14, Acts 15, you know, it was obvious that something bound them together. It was very obvious. So they functioned together. And we can look at every other instance. In Acts 15, we had Paul and Silas. Acts 16, Paul and Timothy. It didn't look spectacular. The church just said, Silas is a good guy. Just like saying, you are sending James. I said, James, you are going to go and start a fellowship down there. I said, okay. And then we all agree that, let's ask this brother to go with him. And that was the hand of the Lord. Are you here? Okay. We know by two things. Of course, by what was done and what was produced. Eventually. So, we have Silas, we have Timothy. Brethren just asked, Paul said, okay, there's this guy. No, he can walk with you. You know, he loves the Lord. And he picked him. Just by discipleship, we find Timothy. In Acts 18, by the virtue of the same craft, Paul found Priscilla and Aquila, verse 2, were the same craft, and they abode with them. They were both tent makers. And you found that relationship spans scripture. And Paul will mention them that, you know, they were partners. So I said that the initial connection looked a bit ordinary, but by the time you look inside it, you see something supernatural. Hope you are following what I'm saying here. And look at that is the way people today will join the church. Somebody will invite you, you listen to a teaching, you know, at that crucial moment of it. You could look back and say, oh, this was when I discovered purpose. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was when I started growing. You know, you now look back and say, oh, you know, I'm talking about the excitement stage. Oh, this is that has come to define who you are. So I explained to that someone, I said, look, did you see that there? I said, yes. I said, that's where you are planted. Because we need to understand that part. I'm going to teach you that later. There's something called being planted. That's where you were planted. Paul will call the church in Corinth. He said, I sowed the seed, Apollo watered. He used that same language. And he wasn't talking about the body of Christ. He was talking about a local assembly. It was planted. He said, I planted you. Apollo's watered it. God gave the increase. You know, and he went on, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8, 9, and into 10. So you have that. And when it's going on, you won't look like anything divine, as it were, is happening. Even though those who were in it, there are people that will know. And if you know a lot of people who, anyone who works with the Lord, hardly drops, God said we should do this. No. It's not like a cliche that you drop. So I said, this is how you are planted in a local assembly. I said, but usually, and this is the essence of what I want to share, and I'm going to talk to you and myself, and we want to talk about, in strengthening local church, what exactly are we strengthening? Of course, our commitment and all of that. But let me mention an area. We should strengthen our relationships. What did I say? Now, let's look at what I'm referring to. Let's start with the fact that between different tribes, yeah? Huh? Different social statuses, Right? Are you here? Huh. And we are going to now see the supernatural connection. Male and female, please qualify that. It's important to qualify that. We strengthen that. And then, we strengthen our relationships by strengthening our purpose together. Because there's nothing that breeds supernatural relationship by keeping your eyes on the purpose. Now, let's backtrack a bit. So, in strengthening the local church, we strengthen relationships. It's something we all have to look at. Like I said yesterday, if you preach strife, bitterness till tomorrow, many people still don't recognize what it is. They think it will come like a roaring lion. But I'm going to show you in a moment, it starts with the way you think. It starts with the thoughts. But the person of us that cannot even control our thoughts. It starts with how you think. So, you must guard those things. I'll come to it in a moment. Because God, when it comes to His purpose and plan, I've said it before, He doesn't have a plan B. Now, He might allow things, not because He doesn't control stuff like that, simply because He didn't orchestrate them. But He doesn't have a plan B. I was talking to someone, I said, let me say something to you. I said, if God led you there, He won't lead you otherwise. I said, sir, what if, I said, look, I'm not one that is giving to all these things you're trying to say. I'm not, what if, I said, you told me now. I said, you need to find out how to establish yourself, how to, you know, reconcile and work things out. I said, God's planted you there. No matter how you struggle. And you know, like I said it to you sometimes, that some of us who are, you know, what people, there's a way we think. We think that someone told me, said, no, all right, this is ministry, you know, I'll just do this, I'll do that. I look at the person funnily. If I'm going to say this, what makes World Changers Conference tick is not that we pray 24 hours. Is that God told us to hold it. You see, we must not be, you know, is that God asked us to do it. I said it has nothing to do with praying. Before we did, it's not about, oh, when we now pray, you know, and this has happened. I remember something that one of my younger friends said one day. Some people, they just say, our own ministry now, we're going to do this, and they will not put it on Facebook. I told him, it was 2016. I said, write it down. They won't be able to sustain it. So he told me last week, he said, they have. I said, I told you. So someone said, no, just, somebody was going for Washington, didn't come. Said, we're trying to do it in our church. I kept quiet. So he said, it didn't work, oh. I said, but you prayed. He said, we prayed, oh, but it didn't work. He said, there's something different. I said, it's God who asked us to do it. That is the difference. You know some people say, I'll just change church, I'll go somewhere. She begins to hear the word. That is not it. And this is something we want people. We just be calculating. We say, let me just go and get some. I told someone 2 days ago, 3 days ago, let me get some Greek and Hebrew material. I said, you think that is what it takes to teach? And let me tell you something. Two people can read the same material. And you will see the vast difference. I said there's something called the grace of God. Understand it. So sometimes we just downplay those things. We downplay the supernatural element in what we are doing, and we are fixed on the natural thing. Let's just pray for 12 hours. I'll just teach you this one. I'll just do 12 hours teaching. Me too. Me too. till you kill yourself. The person you are trying to emulate is not stressed. 1 Corinthians 15:10. After Paul says, I labor more boldly than others, but yet not high. You know, Paul said that. But the grace of God, which was with me. Someone said something to me. He said, look, I have my ministry. He says, because he used to sing. Say, I have my ministry, and God, I just kept quiet. I said, do you realize that God knew you had this talent, but he ensured that something rubbed off on you? He said, until now, I think he's now doing, he's not singing. He has left it. I said, it's like, sometimes, you know, we disconnect ourselves from what makes things work. I've told you, don't change what works. Why are you changing it? If it is not broken, don't fix it. And don't break it either. I said, look at what you are trying to do to you. It's not about, you know, we now do this one, we just come together, we go for outreach, you can do all those things. But it doesn't make it have the same effect. No. God told these people. So I told Brother, I said, look, God said, that's true. I said, Brother Hagin told us to follow God's plans. It's almost the most important thing a man can learn. Except the Lord build the house, the labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watch the city, those that watch do it in vain. You know, you have to look at it. That is it God? If it is God, then I walk in God's plan in it. Is it God? The person told me, said, I'll just start outreach. This one. You are leaving the country. You did not pray about it. You are not led. Because, you know, your siblings went and they said you have to go. And you know, I have to this one. And you know, I said, emoji. What about what God? And the person just abandoned the fellowship they had started. Said, look, I said, don't worry, I'll go and start another one. Look, you think it's rice and bean shop. I'll go and start another one. I said, but this one that you started, is it not God? I said, yes. Some of you are abandoned. You say, yes, it's good. Because the person will know that what is ministry. I've read how to start a cell, and what's that book again? Forgotten the title. These titles are, I can't remember, yeah? How to start a teaching cell for your church and community and body of Christ or something like that. Follow up for do come back and say, I have the material. All I just need to do, you know, I'll just someone told me, say, after all, some people are following you, they are leaving World Media. I said, hey. Say, yes, I don't have to be in the church. I'll just be in the, I said, okay. You know, in those days I'll spend time and be arguing and be explaining out of love. Oh. Sir, really, you know, I said, okay. When I saw the person again, I said, I didn't know what maybe I changed. I didn't change. What do you call that thing? It's in sight. It's now on sight, or off sight, or offline. I said, no. So I want to see you. Yeah, in this place, I said, I don't want to see you. Then he said, why? You know, if you had not been seeing me before, you will have respected what I was saying. Now, I will make you pay for it. So when do you want to see me? I said, after camp meeting. This happened recently. I said, after camp meeting. I said, sir, okay, sir. Hey, what if I just, I said, nothing. That Living Word Media. Is this not the Living Word Media? You said you search the scriptures. But then you think you have that. There are days that testify of me. But you are looking at me, you will not come to me. I said, you will now go and search. I'm not joking, no. That's what I said to the person. The person was in church today. Said, sir, I said, I'm not going to see you one on one. Should you know how to spend money yafu yafu?
Yes. I said, you know how we met. You know how you walk. You saw God's hand. You are now trying to move it. How are you doing things like that? As soon as you say things like this, people say, oh, someone's telling me, say, you just want to control me. You know, I said, what is in you to control? Yeah, tell me, come. Tell me what? What? I'm not mocking the grace of God, but, oh God, what is in control? So I'm just thinking, I thought so, I said, you better banish that thought. To control you for what? You know what I'm thinking? Then no, when you start hearing things like commitment to a church, say all those things are, they are human made. How? That's why I said the church is losing its identity. We are not thinking like human rights activists. When we are also joining protest, what is wrong with you? As a pastor went to meet one president of one country in Africa, said, I'm just asking you, sir, how can we help you with the elections? The man started laughing. He said, pastor, we know how we win. You have faced the flock. Leave this one to us. It's our own realm. Pastor. Stop being greedy. Why do you want to help us? To do what? To pray. Pray about what? In what way? So, you know, we have started thinking like that. And I always warn some of you, hey, when you are, because when you are in your office, everybody is talking, and then they say, no, sir, you send a memo, they copy the memo. So you are now, your head is now in your, just enter workers' meeting. You start to give strategy. You start to say, I object, sir. Huh? Which of the demons followed you here? You know, so because your mind is, but this is how you ought to be. How? So, we therefore must know how supernatural. I see, like I said, there is a bigger picture. That always works. I'm going to just share some things. I was going to teach it next month in our study of the books of the Bible. But let's just bring in some vital things. The book of Ruth. The one we wanted to do after Judges. Ruth. It's a very short book, but it carries so much. Now, the opening statement here says in verse 1, Ruth 1:2. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man, Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and he came to the country of Moab and continued there. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. Pay attention to the emphasis on Moab. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And she rose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the land of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread, which means that there's farm bread eventually in Bethlehem. Therefore, now you now wonder what happened. What exactly prompted this? Watch this. This is very important. She went for the place where she was with two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her daughters and two daughters-in-law, go, return each to our mother's house. Lord, deal kindly with you. You have dealt with the dead and with me. Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. And she had kissed them. She lifted up her voice and wept. They said to her, surely we'll return with thee to your people. And Naomi said, return again, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Don't forget, there are Moabites. We're going to see the background in a moment. And there yet another more sons in my womb that may be your husbands. Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I'm too old to have an husband. If I should say, I will hope I have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons. Would you tarry for them? And she went on. Now, verse 14, they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed the mother-in-law. That is, one of them said, all right. I mean, they were forced, both going, and said, okay. And Ruth clave unto her and said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people unto her gods. Notice that word, unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following after thee, for without thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Now, the importance of this is going to be seen in a moment. Now, if you read the Bible in piecemeal, this story will be so disconnected. Now, remember when God called Abraham in Genesis 12, and Genesis 12 tells us that Abraham took Lot with him. Lot was his nephew. And Lot retains his identity in the New Testament because, if you notice, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7 speaks about the just and righteous Lot, you know, who is meant to have preached in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. So you have, he retained, of course Jesus also said, remember Lot's wife, he retains a personality within the text of the New Testament. So he took Lot with him, and, you know, apparently, of course, naturally, by that relationship, God had engrafted, because he says, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And at that initial stage, it was clear God called Abraham, because look at it, Genesis 12. Verse 5. He took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son. So he took him. So by 13, chapter 13, Abraham had given Lot a lot of liberty. He held his own business, was on his own show. And you know, don't forget, he took him with him. In other words, somehow, pay attention, a supernatural relationship had evolved. You know, because God has called Abraham, he takes Lot with him in the call that he had. So in Genesis 13, you know, they're both in business. And then he says, again in verse 1, Lot with him into the south. Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver and gold. And he went on. Please follow this very well. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now, that wasn't in 12, which means that he had grown. By the virtue of that relationship, okay, the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together for the sake of those days, so that they could not dwell together. Now there was now strife. That is the first time in the whole Bible where we're going to read about strife. Always pay attention to the first time. Because usually later writers pick their theme from there. Are you here? Just like you read the Bible, the very first time a man is leprous, it's Moses, Exodus 4, and it was to be a sign. It was a sign. It wasn't because of disobedience or anything. It wasn't even sickness. The second time, which you can actually traditionally call the first time, is Numbers 12, verse 10, when Miriam, that's the first, before then we read instructions about those who were leprous. But that's the first time. And when we talk about leprosy, leprosy is not, I've said it to you many times, when we're talking about the, what do you call it now, the COVID-19 time, it causes separation. Okay? A leprous person is always separate. That's why Jesus said to them, he said, go and show yourself to the priest, he'll satisfy you, you're fine, before you return to the people. So the second time, which is technically the first time, is Miriam. Why? Because she spoke out of dishonor. She led a dishonorable conversation with her brother Aaron towards her brother Moses. And Moses could not even intercede. So that in itself, and you know, we also know someone called Gehazi, right? So there's something consistent. Now, we could think about that sickness, very easily, but the point is there's a separation, a sudden disqualification for what both of them, Gehazi because of money, greed, and all that. And of course, Miriam, despite, you know, how she did well and all that. So it's good to pay attention to those details
very vitally. Now, this is the first time strife was going to be mentioned in the whole of the Bible. And that is because, notice where it came from. Was there a supernatural relationship? Was there a call of God? Good. So, somehow, for natural reasons, self-ambition, you know, he had grown big. He had forgotten how it all started. I mean, what would Abraham have told him? God has called us to a place to worship. Oh, let's go. Let's go, uncle. You know, but after a while, like, it happens to all of us, including myself, we forget. Are you here? We easily, if you want to know how you forget things, go and take a teaching that changed your life that you have not heard in a while. You will be surprised that things that you need to be practicing now, you had heard it before. You just can't remember. So we easily forget. So I can easily forget who you are. Because we had interacted so well. I mean, if a Joseph can say, Jesus, where did you go to? And somebody was told he would save his people from his sins. He will now say, where did you go to? Jay! Or the mother will say, where did you, you know, it means, I mean, look at how closely they related. If a Peter can say, get behind me. I mean, we can go on and on. We all forget. Don't read those Bible stories and disconnect yourself. We all forget. Lot did the same thing. We forget how God brought us here. We forget how he brought us together. And I've always said it, the way to ensure that you don't forget is to remind yourself. To remind yourself all the time. I keep saying it. If when we confess who we are in Christ, we also confess the gifts of God that have been given to us in people, we will keep relationships very well. So here is Lot. He goes big. And then, you know, should it even happen? Let me ask you. Should it even happen that people working for him are fighting, working for him? Should it even occur? It shouldn't happen. Because if you say it so often, you know, somebody was telling me, he said, this was a preacher, really totally not even connected to us. He said, I just noticed something. That, he said this about, he said, I've mingled with ministers around the world, around Nigeria particularly. He said, when I come in contact with people from your church, he said, there's just a way they treat ministers. I said, that's because of the way we speak about ministers. So it's not coincidence. I was telling a pastor today, I said, check the content of what you are saying. He says, it's just a way. The person said, no. He said, no. This, that, I've seen people. You know, I said, it's the way we teach them. It's not just the way we teach, it's the way you say us. You know, somebody say, no matter what denomination, am I correct? That's watch your mouth. Oh. He said, yes, I noticed it. He said, it's a very rare among world ministries. I said, we were everything, world ministry, prayer ministry, everywhere. Everything that is in the Bible. I mean, we are doing it. He did not say we are one church. God said, what's the meaning of that? It's my church. It's not one church. It's my, I'll be my church, not I'll be one church. Amen. So what could he have told his staff? That they would not be saying, those Abraham people are here again. Don't allow them to enter. I mean, it means that there was a way he wasn't showing that honor to him. He wasn't consistently. He wasn't talking about the fact that, oh, it's pastor who sent me here. He wasn't consistently, what I'm teaching is pastor who taught me. He wasn't saying it. So, at some point, they felt he was his own person. So, there's strife. And that's the second time you will find brethren. The first time strife is used. The second time you find brethren. Because that's the Hebrew word. Abraham now called him. So I pray there be no strife between me and you. Notice the first time didn't say between Abraham and Lot. Said between his strife. Abraham knew it. Said, but brethren, because we are brethren. He said, it's not the old land before you. Separate yourself. I said, Uncle, with all you have done, Uncle, no. He said, oh, God. Look around. He says, sir, you mean it, sir? So when you find out his wife was looking back, you know that Even communication are not good manners. He just looked around and saw the one that is, you know, some of us, we don't know that. Do you think Abraham can even determine what God wanted to do? You see? They are fooling you, you are a fool. He said, choose. He said, but are you sure? He said, I don't know. I just feel inclined because it's closer to my house. He said, okay. You know what God did? As soon as he left, he said, Abraham, look up. He showed him everything. He said, I've given to you. No plan B. And he went there. By the next chapter, he had to go there and rescue him. Look at, you know, he didn't stop problems. He was taken captive. When he went to Sodom, Genesis 14, he went and rescued him and brought him with goods in 16. I don't like that text. He brought him with goods. I just put him inside the truck. Yeah, follow. The man of God. You know? And what did Melchizedek say? He said, you are the possessor of heaven and earth. It doesn't change anything. They laid hands on you, so. They call you reverend. So. Someone said, please don't call me. Brothers were telling me that he introduced someone like that. He said, they were friends in school. So he said, I want to just tell you, reverend, so and so. I mean, they are friends. For him to even say reverend, he said, no. Bishop. He said, sorry, bishop. Pastor Beto, he said, someone is bishop, doctor. He said, nope. I have two doctors. He said, oh. Said bishop, double doctor. I don't know how those things matter, but I mean, if it does, it's fine. So notice that that thing had been happening. Okay, so again, in Genesis 19, of course 18, when he came to him and told him about Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot was there. 19, there was that destruction, and he had to escape. From Sodom. He had to escape. So consistently, he was fighting battles that were not necessary. He was fighting battles that were not necessary. Assuming it was Abraham that said, Lord, I want you to go to Sodom and go and do so and so till I've gone with God's blessedness. But he didn't. Now, look at the core thing. You know, we started with the Moabites, right? Let's just do a background. You know that every time Israel was passing through the desert of Canaan, God told them about the Moabites. Almost exclusively preserved that they should leave them. You see the reason now. Now, in Genesis 19, I'll start from verse 30. Lot now went out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain with his two daughters. They were in the cave with his two daughters. And one of them now came and said, the way we are, we don't have children, no. I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give Popsy correct wine. The one that is 35%. So they got the man drunk. And he slept with his two daughters. And when he did, look at verse 37. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. Are you saying it now? Uh-huh. And the same is the father of the Moabites until this day. The younger. And they also had the Ammonites. So, from that point, there was a separation, enmity between Israel and that nation. Alright? So what is going on? The book of Ruth is now showing us how God restored that relationship. And look at how it happened. A widow. And daughter-in-law of another widow. Naomi. They met in Moab.
Moab was where they now found succor after there was famine in Bethlehem of Judah. And when she was going to return, she said, Lord, I'll go with you. That's the significance of what she said. She said, where you go, I will go. Your God shall be my God. Why is she saying that? Because there's a history. A reconnection is taking place. And watch the significance in a moment. So, by Lot's separation, by his daughters, by all that we have read, they were cut off that genealogy. Of that original calling we read in Genesis 12. When? She said, your God shall be my God. Remember the other one, Ophir? She said, let her return to our gods. Remember, it's normal and all of that. But Ruth made a commitment and said, where you go, I will go. He said, your God shall be my God. Your people. The significance of that is a reinstatement. Now watch it. The book of Ruth again. When you die, verse 17, will I die? Yeah, does the Lord do so to me and more, if aught but death part you and I. That is commitment to relationship. She saw something in that relationship that will fulfill God's plan, that will restore something that was lost. Are you following this? Eventually she met Boaz. And look at the end, Boaz, the end of Ruth 4. So we'll waste our time. Verse 17. Let me start from 13. Boaz took Ruth. She was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, she bore a son. The woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord which had not left thee. This day without a king's man. We're going to do a study on this whole book. I mentioned that last year. That his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. Notice. A nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law which loves thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, had borne him. And Naomi took the child, laid in her bosom, and became nurse unto him, unto it. And the women, neighbors gave it her a name, saying, this is the son of born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He's the father of who? The father of who? Are you following that? That became the grandfather of David. And so in the lineage of Jesus, you will find Ruth there. But it's not Ruth that is the issue. The Moabites, right? Moab. So which means that relationship was meant to fulfill God's plan. A plan before her and a plan afterwards. And you know how things could go. For Oprah to have left, okay, you can go. A better opportunity, offenses. She made up her mind. Now look, I will ensure the will of God is done here. I will not push anything. She said, look, where you go, I will go. The person has not told her, Ruth has not told her, Naomi has not told her where she was going. He said, where you go, I will go. Your God shall be my God. Your people, my people. A commitment to that relationship came a commitment to God and his plan. Because do not forget, God's plans are tied to men. And so when you read the genealogy, quickly let's look at it. The genealogy, two of them, Matthew 1, you will find in verse 5, Salmon begat Booz of Rahab, Booz begat Obed of Ruth, Obed begat Jesse. This is in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Luke. Luke 2, 32, which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Booz, which was the son of Salmon, which is the son of Nason. So you find out that there is a significance in Jesse, who was of the tribe of Judah. That's where the hand of God was. That's where the plan of God was. Genesis 49:10. And by relationship, Ruth got herself into God's plan. And she didn't just do that. It was forced marriage, right? Then she saw God's hand in it. Then she stuck to that relationship, kept it, saw it as a supernatural relationship. And today, it's not just the fact that she is in that lineage. A whole book is written. That means that life became God's word to us. But notice what went to it. A commitment. A dedication to relationships. Something that Lot, right, did not do. Eventually he did it. And of course, by that time, a lot of things had gone away, gone away. His daughters, Sodom, Gomorrah, and all of that. But look at how God still, he said, there's no plan B. Same blessedness of Abraham. Found it, but those years later on. I'm convinced that there are many of us who are, we're in God's call today. God's plan, you know, restoring something that we're missing in families. And that's why we have to be very sensible and sensitive. And I've said it to someone before, I said, when you notice that you have a history within your family of people who serve God and stop serving God, then see you as a restoration. Are you here? And you must therefore know that God will put you in a place. Position yourself that the way you think must be very different. Must be very different. Amy Semple McPherson was born by a woman who had wanted to serve the Lord. But somehow, marital issues, life's issues, she couldn't. And she said, Lord, I don't, you know, my time is past, but I'm dedicating this child, you know, to serve you. And look at what we have today, the Foursquare Mission. So I must see myself. There's a bigger picture. You know, I tell you that there's always a bigger picture, right? Remember the letter thing he wrote me in 1993? He said, there's something bigger than you. It's called us. Bigger than you. So I believe that there are things, maybe some people, you know, things were truncated from when we saw them alive. They couldn't continue. But here you are. And God, you know, is putting you in relationships, you know, to restore things, to put things where they ought to be. So I told someone, I said, look, you therefore must be extra careful. When you see that pattern, you say, no. Be extra vigilant and extra careful. When I was younger, I had this, we had a lot of bread. Folks who are from my family, they would love to serve God and all that. So my dad used to think that I was just like all of them. So I picked up my mind and said, no, I won't turn out this way. And that's why you guard your heart very well. So the story of Ruth, we're going to go into it in more details. Like, there's so much more that I've not said. You know, that you could see that God was the same Moabites who were by Deuteronomy, they were now called the Gentiles. And God brought them back by someone's commitment to a relationship that did not look supernatural. Are you here? But she saw the supernatural element in it. Which means that when we do ministry, whatever we do today, we look at the future, right? The legacies. That's what it meant by, and his face shall shine upon you and to you and your children and your children's children. Is that clear? That you are actually laying foundation. And I used to tell people that, look, what you are doing, think about the future. Are you here? So God does not have plan B. Are you here? No, he doesn't have. He will walk someone else back. I was telling someone, I said, did you notice that He walked you back to that thing you let say, I noticed it. I said, even when you did not know what he was doing, he has no plan B. That is what he wants to do.
I think it's possible you walk away, then he'll find someone. That's what he wants to do. That you don't want to do, it doesn't change his mind. That's why in life, never get to the point where you are competing. You are wasting your time. God does not reward ambitions. What did I say? He doesn't reward ambition. He rewards his own plan. Obedience. He rewards obedience to his plan. That's what he rewards. Not ambition. That's what I was saying the other time. I know, some people pray for 10 hours. Let's pray for 10 hours. That's ambition. Now, do we have healthy, you know, where we stir ourselves up to do God's will, and we say, no, Brother Wale, no, this is, yes, we can have that. But to start to compete, no. We follow God's plan. Remember, he doesn't have a plan B. I just pray that he doesn't replace us. See, don't ever think you are irreplaceable. I've said to you over the years, don't think so. That you are irreplaceable. God so loves me. You know, when we sing all those songs, he leaves the 99 and chases after one. He doesn't let the love of God. I don't know the song actually. I just don't know that song. If I went to someone's house in London, and he played, he said, I would like the song. And he said, you jump over everybody and chase you. be pleasing yourself. If I was the only one that was on earth, Jesus would have come. Egocentric teaching. You better give yourself brain. Eh? He said, don't touch Eliab. I have rejected him. Did he chase him? Did he chase him? Or it's not part of the, okay, it's part of the 99. He said about Judas. He's bishoping, let another. Did he stop Judas? Eh? How's that now? Let another take. Good way. I'm so special in eyes of God. I can see. So, let's follow his plan. Now. Are you here? Mm-hmm. Run from limelight. Keep your head low. Are you here? Do everything possible. Because the journey is far. You follow what I'm saying? God wants to use you for the whole world. You have just seen 500 people. You can't listen again. You are still going very far. You have not even left where you are. You are already doing a celebration party. No, sir. This work demands more than showbiz. Thank God for changing your suit. Some of you, the time you should spend to fasting and prayer. You are easy to do your hair for camp meeting. Amen? Amen? You are not preparing the flock. You are not hearing from God. You are not fasting. I didn't say you should have been like masquerade next this year. Before you show up, people will think that, before they think that we are doing all the festival. No. But, you know, it's just what you used to do to prepare for meetings. Don't change it. Don't change what works. Is that okay? Is that simple? Is that okay? Simple. Back to what I was saying. So guard what God has given. You say, I guard what God has given me. So I said, I put four things here. I said, number one, you feed it. What did I say? Feed it. Feed what God has given you. Feed that relationship. By just going to Sodom, you know, Lot had already broken fellowship. By going to Sodom, he broke fellowship. Feed it. Feed from it. Available. The only way you can feed and be fed from something is to have fellowship. Number three, I said, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Don't wait for something to mature. Soon as a thought is coming, say, hold on there. Paul is my brother in Christ. God put us together in this work. And we're going to do it for 70 years. You respond immediately. Ah! You say, no. And the one, we were brought here by God's Spirit. It's not the flesh that brought us. So we are doing this together by the will of God. You understand? That's how to do things. You guard your heart. Then use your words. Right? Use your words. Not just when you see, say, Pastor Sean. When you see him. And when you are praying for him, say, I pray for Sean. That's the one God will hear. There's not what you do when the person is there. Use your words. I receive from the man of God over my life. You speak about those, and it's not just, I'm going to show you in a moment, it's not just people above you, people under you too, are brought by God's Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? You feed it, you guard it. There are times, for example, I have some of you do something, and naturally, that's the flesh. And Satan will test you. He will test you with people under your care. You are meant to guard those relationships too. They are also supernatural. Don't think it's just up in that sense. It's just, no. The people God has brought your way, you will see it. People He has brought you their way, you guard it. Look at the Barnabas and Paul. Talk about John Mark. Is there a scripture today? Do you think it was written so that we could, it's written so that we can learn? Because those things, and you now hear everybody talking about John Mark later on, it was not worth it. You discover that what you were fighting over wasn't just worth it at all. John Mark eventually went to Peter. He went around and came back to Paul. So was it necessary? No, it wasn't. I know some people are writing an epistle today saying that we should not castigate John Mark. Go and become one. Nonsense. Yeah, Barnabas. And you know, and he just walked away from the work whereto I have called them. And I told you that whenever you have people confront strife, people are opposing your ministry, and you are both fighting like Paul and Barnabas, like Moses, Aaron and Miriam, to get to a point. Because you have been facing those things, and you have been seeing those words that are creeping into your heart, one day you will do it to one another. That's why even when you are handling opposition in ministry, you keep that relationship God has brought you into and say, no, this won't come to our heart. This won't come in. This won't come here. Because oftentimes when we finish fighting others, we start to fight ourselves. You guard your heart. Is that okay? So in this year and the seasons to come, preserve relationships. I've always told you, over half of following God's plan in your life are relationships. An interesting thing is that the way you are not perfect. When I say that, you know what I mean. As human, that's the way those people will be. You must learn to do that. Those coming under your care, they're human. They will make misjudgments, they will do this, but you know who they are. You know them. I don't want to give you stories that you may not be too palatable, but when I keep, and I can tell you stories upon stories upon stories, that eventually, I will talk, you say, well, if I had listened though, if I had listened. And it's not every time one has, time to correct things. You guard it. You pray about it. Which means that in your prayer life, pray for people that are in your life. Is that okay? Let's just take a minute or two and do that. Just pray.